Bible open and with a sincere desire that you may come to know more about God's Word as we study it together. We always have the opportunity of learning more about God's Word as we open that sacred truth, and we ask you to stay with us for the next quarter hour as we deal once again with the question, what does it mean to be born again? Today on the broadcast, we're going to the 9th chapter of Acts, and those of you that are familiar with this chapter will know that this tells us about the conversion of an individual who was one for Christ. I remember a good many years ago hearing a man tell me, as we were talking on a street corner, that he had won an individual for Christ. That expression intrigued me, and so I asked him more sincerely about how this was possible. I found out that this man was a Christian, that he'd worked with another man for years on the job, and even though the adverse conditions under which they were working did not give much time to talk about the Lord, he had not alone by what he said, but also by what he did, won this man who had been a vile sinner to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was said that the man who was won to Christ at one time had been an atheist, that he had claimed that he did not believe there was a God, or even that he did not know if there were a God. And so this brother in the Lord had won this man for Christ. And I think of it when I think of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, as is recorded here in the 9th chapter of Acts. Now you're aware of the fact that in this teaching, we have Saul on his way to the city of Damascus with letters from the chief priests, the high priests, that if he would find any who were following Jesus of Nazareth, any of that way, that he would bring them bound to the city of Jerusalem to stand trial, and apparently to suffer the same fate as Stephen did in chapter 7. He went on his way to the city of Damascus, and then he was stricken down on that road, and he asked two questions at that time. Listen to them. First, we read verse 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Then the answer came, and the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Then the second question, and he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now the interesting point is that this man wanted to know what to do to be born again. He may not have known at this time what it meant to be born again, but he wanted to know what he should do to be saved. He was trembling and he was astonished, because this is the very one he had opposed. This is the one that he had been opposing at the time when Stephen was stoned. This is the one that he was opposing at the time when the disciples were scattered abroad from the city of Jerusalem and went everywhere preaching the word. And now he's met the Lord face to face. And now he is stricken down. And now he asks the question, "What wilt thou have me to do?" The answer is interesting here as it first comes. Listen to the last part of the 6th verse. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now I'd like to make a key point in this series I'd like to have you think about intently. Here's a man who later became Paul the Apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament that we have, friends. He recounts his conversion in Acts 22 that we're going to allude to a little later in this broadcast, the Lord willing. But if there ever was a man upon the earth who wanted God to tell him directly from heaven what to do to be saved, it truly was Saul of Tarsus. And yet, you see, God did not tell him directly from heaven what to do to be saved. The 6th verse says, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Later in the chapter, Ananias comes in, selected by the Lord to tell Saul of Tarsus what he must do. You know, when he came to Saul, as it is recorded not alone in this 9th chapter, but also in the 22nd chapter where Paul the Apostle tells about his own conversion, I'm interested in what Paul says Ananias told him to do. In Acts 22 and 16, and that's a passage you should commit to memory, it's a passage you ought to know every day of your life. Ananias told him when he came in to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, I have to mention on the broadcast today of a conversation I had years ago in the state of Iowa with a good lady who seemed to want to know more about God's Word from time to time. We were discussing Acts 22:16. She really didn't know whether baptism was essential to salvation or not. There are a lot of people like that. And I'm sure they're just as honest as she was. There may be some who are not, but we always say, friends, that we give the benefit of a doubt to anyone, whether they're honest or dishonest, until those people have proven they're otherwise. Well, this woman, from all indication, was honest. We were discussing Acts 22:16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling in the name of the Lord." And just about that time, her little daughter came home from school. I'm going to say that she probably was 10 years old. I'm just making a guess at that. That's what I remember. When she came in, I said to the mother, "Here's your daughter. Let's let her decide for us what this verse means." So she agreed. The little girl was capable of reading, and I asked her to read that 16th verse of the 22nd chapter. She read it quite carefully and diligently. I said, "Now, your mother and I have been discussing this verse. Maybe you can help us. Can you tell me from this verse why this man was told to be baptized?" And she simply read from the Bible, "to wash away his sins." And you know, I didn't have to say any more in that conversation. And I believe I won't have to say any more on this broadcast to you. When you realize that he was told to go into the city and it would be told him, what he must do. The sixth verse in the 9th chapter of Acts is one that we must keep in mind. Not alone from the standpoint that he was told to go into the city, but also from the standpoint that he was told what he must do. Now, the point I want to make also on this broadcast, I know there are those of you that are listening out here in the land that's hearing this program today, and perhaps you have some doubt in your mind about how the Lord will announce this to you, how you will be told what to do to be saved. Well, let's look at this illustration. He wasn't told directly from heaven, but he was told through the instrumentality of a brother in Christ here, just like your neighbor or a friend or a relative who may already be a Christian. God's not going to tell you directly from him what to do to be saved. He sent the Holy Spirit to his apostles, and as it was mentioned there in Jude's writing in verse 3 of that one chapter, Jude told the brethren to earnestly contend for the faith. Now that's the gospel, the one thing we're called upon to believe. To earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It wasn't delivered unto the sinners, but it came to the saints in Christ Jesus. It came to the apostles on that day of Pentecost in Acts the 2nd chapter. They went into all the world and they preached the gospel to every creature. Here's an accounting of where the gospel was preached to Saul of Tarsus. He was not told directly from heaven by the Holy Spirit what to do, or that he was saved, but he was told to go into the city and will be told thee what thou must do. Now this man looked back upon his conversion in the years that were ahead, and as he looked back, he said that all his past life, regardless of how zealous he had been, was considered as the offscourings of the body, that he might actually gain Christ. Here is the Apostle Paul. We know him first as Saul of Tarsus, later as Paul the Apostle, that was truly one for Jesus Christ. Now Ananias hesitated to go and talk to him because he said, "I've heard of how he's opposed thy people." And Jesus told him, "You go. This man is a chosen vessel. He's going to bear my name to the Gentiles, to the lost sheep of Israel. He's going to see the things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, it was no different than it would be in any conversion today. You may not be in the category of a Saul of Tarsus, but one thing you can have in common with him is that you're a sinner. And I want to make it very clear on the broadcast today that if you're a sinner, if you continue on, I don't care how many are walking down this road with you, if you continue on in sin, just as sure as I'm talking to you on this station, friends, the wages of sin is death. There will be no exception made for you. Someone said, my mother was a Christian, my father was a Christian, my grandparents were Christians. That's true. May God bless them in their life. But what are you? You see, the other person can do everything he or she can to help us. But when it comes to our obedience to the gospel, we stand alone just like Saul of Tarsus did. Go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do. And he heard that story, and it was the same story that was preached at Pentecost. It was the same gospel story that was preached in Samaria. It was the same story that was preached in the desolate area on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. It is a story that is preached now in the city of Damascus. Now the question comes, was Saul of Tarsus, we know him as Paul the Apostle, was he born again? I don't believe there can be any question if we believe the Bible at all, but this man was born again. If he were born again, then he was born of the water and the Spirit. If he were born of the water and the Spirit, then he could not alone see the kingdom, but he could be a part of it. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Jesus is the one that first talked to Saul of Tarsus here and told him to go into the city, and it would be told him what he must do. I'm saying you today, as you listen to this broadcast, if you have not been born again, or if there's a question in your mind whether you've been born again, what are the ingredients that go into this new birth? What truly is this form of doctrine of which Paul spoke in Romans chapter 6? It is a hearing the word of God. It is believing what we have heard. It is a turning from our sin and repentance. It is a confession with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And without exception, it is a baptism into Christ, an immersion in water, in a likeness of his death, that we might rise to walk the new life in a likeness of his resurrection. The time is short. We do not know how long. Either the time when your life will terminate or the time when Jesus will come, whichever comes first. You must in this life prepare to meet God. Will you be one for Christ today? Your friends of the Church of Christ stand ready to help you. And I know as I talk to you on this station, even though it may be beamed out into, well, miles from where I'm recording this today, I know it's the same gospel. And I know that you can be one for Christ. You may be a teenager. You may be a person who is just starting your married life. You may be one who is going down the western slope of time. Remember, regardless of your age, the Bible can play a part in your life. You can be one for Christ if you're old enough to believe, if you're willing to serve him, if you're willing to do his will. As we leave you on the broadcast today, let's offer this prayer. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we are glad for this broadcast today. May many who listen be one for Christ, just as the Bible teaches. Bless our endeavor to serve thee. This is our prayer we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. We'll be with you next week, the Lord willing, as we deal once again with the question, what does it mean to be born again?